This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One of the biggest tech deals ever may have its head in the clouds. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Any moment now, Dell of Texas could officially announce a deal to purchase cloud computing giant EMC of Massachusetts. The size of the complicated deal, which has Dell borrowing heavily, is estimated at $65 billion. It may be a new sign that Dell's longtime computer hardware business isn't as shiny as it once was. Marketplace tech host Ben Johnson is here with more. Ben, what is the logic?
On the one hand, both Dell and EMC are legacy tech firms. They've been around for a long time. On the other, some of the stuff they make could work well together. Dell is most known for its hardware, both servers for business and the consumer side. And whether you're talking about the dip in PC sales among regular consumers or the fact that Microsoft just announced it was making its own laptop, Dell needs to grow its enterprise business. EMC is this kind of OG of cloud storage and computing. It's four decades old, and plenty of other competition in the cloud computing and storage space, like Amazon, has come along and driven down the price of EMC's main product. By combining, these two companies can be kind of one-stop shop for cloud computing. It's a bold move for Dell in a world where a lot of companies are talking about ways to be smaller. But it could also be a really smart move for two companies with products that work well together and a reputation for good service.
Ben Johnson is the host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech. Some label this the biggest ever technology acquisition, but AOL Time Warner was much bigger. Let's check the numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 0.4%. Stock index futures in the U.S. are essentially unchanged. The biggest of banks report quarterly profits this week, with J.P. Morgan Chase kicking things off tomorrow. The Federal Reserve has been dithering, which has been a challenge for banks, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
Low interest rates let banks borrow cheaply. They're not paying much interest on deposits these days. And low rates can help boost lending. Shannon Stem, an analyst at Edward Jones, says the way those two things play together is important.
To the extent that banks borrow money at shorter-term rates and then they tend to lend out the money at longer-term rates, like a mortgage, for example, they make money, you know, by earning the difference between those two.
The hitch? Banking consultant Bert Ely says loan rates have dropped more than deposit interest rates, which really can't go any lower.
What the effect has been over recent years is to squeeze down that differential between what they collect and what they pay out in interest. And that, in effect, has reduced the bank's revenue.
Ely wants to see how banks are dealing with that continued pressure on profitability. Will they cut more branch offices or workers? He'll also look at banks' exposure to the oil industry, which has been walloped by low prices. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
China has now become the latest country to launch an investigation into cars rigged by Volkswagen to cheat pollution tests. VW stock is down 20% since the scandal broke. If only there had been some early hint, you say. Well, there were some red flags about VW management well before news came of the cheating diesels. They were picked up by some investment firms that rate companies based on their environmental, social, and governance record, the socially responsible investment people. At least one pulled VW off its index of responsible companies last spring. Elsie Mayo is the founder of Humanity, Inc., a corporate responsibility consulting firm. She says the red flags were about what some see as VW's clannish, isolated corporate culture and a board of directors that could have been tougher on management.
There's no checks and balances. There's no fresh air. There's no sunlight.
So you see this at some level as a victory for the sense of applying these ESG factors to companies when you're trying to figure out who to buy and who to sell?
I do. Social factors, environmental issues had often been dismissed as soft. Well, right now, look at what Volkswagen is suffering by its lapse in governance issues.
Here's a company that had many people convinced. Volkswagen was trying to do better with fuel-efficient cars. This could lead some consumers to believe that a lot of these claims from different companies are not serious.
Right. But honestly, I think we have to look at who is the they. Our impression of companies comes from the top. And there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people at Volkswagen who likely really do care about the environment. It is really the opportunity now for management to connect with those employees. The old-timey excuse is, how can we possibly? There are hundreds of thousands of employees. Well, now we have the technology to do it.
That may be the road ahead, but will you forgive some people for now being a little bit cynical when they hear a big company make an environmental claim?
That's a great point. And the data show that trust is at record low levels. What's going to continue to work better and better is the system of screening the congruence of what they say and what they do. The great news is that Wall Street is leading the way. So we have companies like Calvert, for example, who uses tools to measure environmental social behaviors and then collaborate with companies. But to say, hey, you know what? We know what your intention is and we see where the lapses are. Have you thought about how you might address this?
Elsie Mayo of Humanity, Inc. is also founder of the Soul Branding Institute. Elsie, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And now I'd like to disclose a conflict of interest. I am a bicyclist, and as such, I may be the only one who cares about the following business story today. Professional cycling has just ended its longtime opposition to disc brakes on bikes. So not just calipers, but discs, which sometimes work better when it's wet. Once the amateurs see the pros with discs, they'll all run out and buy them. Analysts say this could boost stock in the Japanese company Shimano, which makes bicycle components. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.